Title: Analog Feeling Bass Tones Masterclass with Clean Routing Intermediate. All right, let's build a drum and bass system that feels analog, hits hard, and stays clean. The goal today is not just to make a cool reese. It's stable sub, controlled character, and routing that you can reuse every session without mystery problems later. When people say analog feeling bass in DNB, they usually mean three things at once. 1. The low end is steady and confident. 2. There's subtle motion so it feels alive, not static. And 3. There are harmonics that make the bass readable on small speakers without turning everything into fuzzy chaos. So we're going to build a simple, professional architecture. 3 lanes feeding one bass bus. Sub lane, mid lane, optional top lane, and then a bass bus for glue and sidechain. This is the clean routing part that makes everything else easier. Step 0. Quick session setup. Set your tempo around 172 to 175 BPM. Drop in a basic drum loop, even if it's just kick, snare, and hats. You need the drums running, because bass sound design without context is how you end up with a bass that sounds amazing solo and falls apart in the track. If you want a reference track in the session, pull, but keep it muted for now. We're focusing on building your system. Step 1. Build the routing skeleton. Create 3 MIDI tracks. Name them bass sub, bass mid, and bass top. The top one is optional, but set it up anyway because it's a great place to put controlled presence later. Now create one more track called bass bus. Audio track or a MIDI track, either is fine. This is going to be the single fader where your entire bass system gets glued, ducted, and controlled. Routing time. On each bass lane, set audio to the bass bus. And on bass bus, set audio to the master. That's it. Simple, clean, repeatable. Teacher tip. Color code these tracks. It sounds like a tiny thing, but it massively reduces decision fatigue. If you can recognize sub, mid, and top instantly, you'll work faster and make fewer routing mistakes. Why this matters? We're separating responsibilities. The sub should not be punished because the mid needs distortion, and the mid shouldn't be held back because you're trying to protect the sub. This routing lets you push character where it belongs and keep the foundation clean. Step 2. Build the SUB lane. Clean, mono, confident. On bass sub, load operator. We're using operator like a hardware-ish sub-oscillator. Set operator to algorithm only, so it's just one oscillator. Set oscillator to a sine wave. If you want a slightly more natural thickness, you can use triangle, but start with sine if you're unsure. Set the octave to -1. Depending on the key of your track, -2 might be useful, but -1 is a safe starting point. Pull the level down to around -6 dB to start. Headroom matters here. Now add your devices in this order. First, EQ 8. High pass at about 20 to 25 Hz with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. That's just removing rumble you don't need. If your sub note is blooming too much, you can do a gentle dip somewhere around 45 to 60 Hz, but don't do it automatically. Only do it if you actually hear the low end getting floppy. Second, saturator. Keep it subtle. Choose soft sine mode and drive it about 1 to 3 dB. Then match the output so it's not louder just because you added saturation. That loudness trick will lie to you every time. Third, utility. Set width to 0%. Mono sub, always. Then use gain to place the sub at a steady level without clipping. Target mindset. The sub should sound kind of boring when soloed. If you solo it and it's the coolest sound ever, it's probably too distorted or too hyped. In the full mix, though, it should feel huge and stable. Quick gain staging rule of thumb. Aim for each lane, including the sub, to peak around -12 to -9 dBFS before it hits the bass bus. You're setting yourself up for predictable compression and saturation later. Step 3. The MID lane. This is the soul, the analog feeling movement and harmonics. On bass mid, load wave-eatable. We're going to make it behave less like a perfect digital synth and more like a warm, slightly unstable voice. In wave-eatable, pick something classic for oscillator 1, like basic shapes, and get into the saw or square territory. Do the same for oscillator 2. Detune a little, but don't go wild. Add unison, like 2 to 4 voices, and keep the amount around 20 to 40%. Detune in the 10 to 20 range is a good place to start. The vibe is solid width, not phase soup. Turn glide on, and set it around 40 to 80 milliseconds. That little slur between notes is a big part of DNB flavor, especially on rollers and reese-ish basses. Now the filter, which is a huge part of the analog vibe. Use one of Ableton's analog modeled filters like MS2 or PRD. Start the cutoff somewhere around 200 to 800 Hz. resonance around 10 to 25%. Add a little drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, but be careful. Filter drive can get aggressive fast. Add just a small amount of envelope modulation if you want movement, but we're not necessarily making a pluck. Think breathing, not pecking. Now add devices after the synth. First, EQ 8. This is critical. High pass the mid layer at about 80 to 120 Hz. Steep slope, 24 dB per octave to start. The entire point is that the mid lane does not compete with the sub. If you only remember one rule today, remember this one. Second, saturator. Choose analog clip or soft sign. Drive it harder than the sub, like 4 to 10 dB, but keep output matched. Turn on soft clip if you need it. Third, auto filter for movement. Use a low pass filter, 12 or 24 dB. Map cutoff to an LFO sync to tempo. Start with 1/8 or 1/4 rate. Keep the amount small to medium. You want that rolling, breathing motion that makes the bass feel alive under the drums. Optional, chorus ensemble. Very subtle. This is where warm width can live. But if it starts sounding facey, or if the low end feels like it's getting smaller, back it off. And remember, because we high pass the mid lane, chorus is safer here than on the sub. Finish with utility. Width around 80 to 120%, and then balance the lane against the sub. Coach note, if you add the mid lane and suddenly the whole bass feels smaller, even though the mid is high passed, you may have phase rotation from the filter slope or saturation. Try a gentler high pass slope, like 12 dB per octave, or try moving the saturator after the high pass if it isn't already. Also consider reducing unison or detune. Unison can create cancellations in the low mids that make the bass feel hollow. Here's a really useful mindset. Decide the authority band. Sub owns roughly 30 to 90 Hz. Mid owns roughly 120 Hz up to about 1.2 kHz. Top owns roughly 1.5 to 6 kHz. If you keep boosting the same area in multiple lanes, you're usually masking, not adding weight. Step 4. TOP lane. Controlled bite, optional but powerful. On bass top, you can duplicate the mid lane and simplify it, or use operator with a saw. The main concept, top is presence, not fizz. It should feel missing when muted, but not sound like a separate instrument. Suggested chain. Start with EQ8, high pass at 250 to 400 Hz. Then, if you need more definition, a gentle shelf or small lift around 2 to 5 kHz can help, but don't overdo it. This range gets harsh quickly in DNB if you push it. Then add amp or pedal. Start with a cleaner model and push it gradually. Keep this lane quieter than you think it should be. Optional. Redux. Very subtle. It's around 10 to 12. Minimal downsampling or none. Too much and it becomes sandpaper instantly. Then utility for width. Maybe 120 to 160%. And if mono compatibility starts suffering, reduce the width. Remember, clubs and big systems are often effectively mono in the low end. And you want this whole bass to survive that reality. Extra top grit trick that stays mixable. Do bandpass distortion. Put an EQ before distortion. Bandpass around 1.5 to 4.5 kHz. Distort that. Then EQ again after to tame harsh peaks, often around 3 to 5 kHz. That gives you presence without hissy highs or low mid mud. Step 5. The bass bus. Blue. Side chain. Safety net. On the bass bus, we're going to do minimal, disciplined processing. The point is to make the three lanes feel like one instrument and make it move with the kick. First, EQ 8. Very gentle shaping only. If the bass feels boxy, a tiny dip around 200 to 350 Hz can help. Second, glue compressor. Attack around 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release on auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2 to 1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. This is glue, not squashing. Third, a little saturator on the bus. Drive 1 to 4 dB, soft sign or analog clip. This is like a console stage that finishes the bass. Fourth, the sidechain compressor. Put a compressor after that. Enable sidechain, and choose your kick track as the input. Attack very fast, like 0.1 to 1 millisecond. Release around 50 to 120 milliseconds. Ratio 4 to 1. Set the threshold so you're getting about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction. And here's the musical part. Tune the release so the bass returns between kick hits in a rolling way. If the bass feels like it's missing, your release is too long. If it's clicky or overly choppy, your attack might be too fast, or the compressor is overreacting to the kick's high transient. Pro fix if the sidechain is acting weird. Sometimes the compressor is responding to the kick beat or highs more than the low thump. One solution is to create a cleaner sidechain feed. For example, You can route the kick to a separate SCKY track that doesn't go to the master, a cue that key so it's mostly low end, and then sidechain from that. Now the ducking redacts to the part of the kick that actually conflicts with the bass. Finally, put a limiter on the bass bus as a safety net, ceiling at minus 0.5 dB. It should only catch occasional spikes. This is not for loudness. If it's working hard, go back and fix gain staging. Bus level target. Let the bass bus peak around minus 6 dB FS before the limiter. That keeps everything predictable. Advanced groove variation. You don't always need to duck the sub as much as the character layers. Try putting deeper sidechain compression directly on MID and TOP, like 4 to 8 dB of reduction. And keep SUB lightly ducked, like 1 to 3 dB, or even not at all if your kick is short and your mix allows. That's how you get pumping excitement without the low end disappearing. Step 6. Arrangement moves that make it feel like a track, not a loop. Try a simple call and response over two bars. First bar, full bass, sub plus mid. Maybe top. Second bar, pull the top out, or close the mid filter slightly. That tiny change creates momentum. Next, push notes into the snare. Instead of messing with the sub, view it mostly in the mid lane. Add a shorter note just before beat 2 or 4, so it leans into the snare. You'll hear the groove tighten immediately. Then automate filter cutoff over phrases. Think in 8-bar or 16-bar logic. For 8 bars, slowly open the mid filter. Next 8, hold it steady and maybe increase distortion slightly. Last 8, change the LFO rate or introduce a touch more unison. The listener feels progression even if your MIDI pattern stays similar. Another sneaky drop impact trick. 2 bars before the drop. Narrow the mid width a bit and low pass it slightly more. On the drop, revert. The bass feels wider and brighter without you actually making it louder. Step 7. Resampling workflow. This is very DNB. Once the loop is working, create an audio track called Bass Resample. Set audio from to bass bus. Record 8 to 16 bars. Now you can slice, warp, reverse, stutter, make fills, and do all the classic DNB edits without your CPU melting and without being locked to a heavy synth chain. On that resample track, you can add a light print-ready cleanup chain, utility or EQ to ensure rumble is removed around 20 to 25 Hz, and maybe a gentle low pass around 12 to 16 Khz if the top gets fizzy. This audio version is shortened for playback.